Getting a good night's sleep can be easier said than done, but don't worry, because our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to help you unwind and sleep harder than Jeff Teague trying to run a fast break. Sleep PM bath salts fuse superior CBD and melatonin with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience and give you the relaxation you so desperately crave, and to make it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products at CBDMD. Boston Celtics lose a tough one to the Utah Jazz. I didn't think it was that bad, but certainly we are learning how far the Celtics are from being elite. I'm going to talk about it on this Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Milt, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is you're doing, wherever you're going. Thank you for taking this podcast along with you. I really do appreciate it. I'm John Corrales. I host this show Monday through Friday, so you're getting a daily podcast from me if you subscribe to the show. I cover the Celtics for the Boston Sports Journal. You can subscribe right now. Use the promo code Corrales. You're going to get $5 off an annual subscription. That works out to be less than $3 a month. I'm also the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book now available at booksellers everywhere and on my website, johncorrales.com, for an autographed copy. The Celtics lose to the Utah Jazz 117-109. Tough one. They had their chances, but they could not execute. Utah is a really good team, okay? They're really good. So, standard post-game podcast format here. The good in segment one, which was the effort, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, usual suspects. The bad, the defensive lapses, Grant Williams. Sorry, Grant, but ugh. And in segment three, what this game showed us about the Boston Celtics and how far they really are from the Utah Jazz and the best teams in the NBA. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. You can talk to me, fans, athletes, insiders, all in real time. You might even end up on this podcast if you download the Locker Room app for free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the NBA group, and follow me. I'm at John Corrales. Join me in a room, and we'll talk. I'm going to do one a week, so make sure you download the app so you can join me. All right, let's get into this. The Boston Celtics again lost 117-109. They had their chances for sure. They came out to a big lead. It went back and forth. I think it was a really good game. And when you can nitpick a lot from this game for sure, which I guess that's what this podcast does. But in the end, my take from this game, my overarching take is Utah's a better team. Just like Brooklyn was a better team. When I looked at that game at the end, I said, Brooklyn was just better. The Celtics are not as good as Brooklyn. They're not as good as Utah. Utah's a good team. And at the end, when the Celtics had their opportunities to maybe not close out this game, but take over the game, they had it within three with a couple minutes left to go. And what happens? The ball gets out of Jason Tatum's hand. The ball is taken out of Jaylen Brown's hand. Marcus Smart is open. Now, Marcus Smart has hit those threes before, and the Celtics feel comfortable, but in this game, it was one of those Marcus Smart 2-for-10, 1-from-6-from-3 games. And when he's shooting like that, the other team is going to live with that shot as well. But on the other end, it was Mike Conley, and it was It was Donovan Mitchell who was were hitting three-pointers. In fact, when you look up and down the floor, like any one of those guys taking a three is, I mean, unless it's Rudy Gobert, but any of their starters taking a three, you're fine with. Bojan Bogdanović, who is you could say might be the best shooter of them all, did not. He was 1 of 5. Royce O'Neal, 2 of 4. Donovan Mitchell, 3 of 5. Mike Conley, 3 of 8. Going to the bench, Joe Ingles, 4 of 8. Jordan Clarkson, 5 of 10. They're just a better team, a deeper team. That's just how it is. I'll talk more about that kind of stuff later on. The good, I thought the Celtics' effort was good. You play this game the same way against one of those February opponents, the Celtics win this game. You know, like that's, I think that is worth mentioning. I think that's one of the things when we're looking at process, the progress of this team, where is this team compared to where they were a few weeks ago? I think they're ahead of where they were a few weeks ago. Now, they lost this game and it sucks, and I know that people are pissed off about it. Hopefully you've gone to bed. If you went to bed pissed off, you're waking up going, okay, not so bad. But my number one good thing out of this is they played hard. They played tough. And maybe if you stick 10,000 fans in there, what are they going to have in there? Actually, it's going to be like 3,000 fans when they let fans back in a couple weeks. But you stick some fans in there, maybe they get a little extra juice. Maybe down the stretch, they get a little extra energy to make a play and make a stop. And that stuff matters. That stuff really matters. Without the fans there, it's a little, the home court advantage means something. And for the Celtics to play this well, to have fans there would have been just a little something extra, which I thought would have been, I don't know if they would have won this game, but man, it would have given this guy, these guys a little extra something, and that's meaningful. But still, they played, I thought, generally pretty well. Okay, their defense was good, then it faded off, but even I highlighted, and I'll talk about this in the third segment, one possession where the Jazz had, they passed the ball 6 times, drove, the ball touched the paint twice, and then they took a top of the key three-pointer, all within like 9 seconds, which is a lot to fit into 9 seconds. And the Celtics mostly defended that well, but by the end of it, Joe Ingles was wide open at the top with nobody within 8 feet. And you're like, oh, wow, they're so damn good. Celtics did a lot of good stuff, and then they just faltered at the end. Were the Jazz, they didn't. Jaylen Brown was really good early, really good late in the game. He scored, 28 points in this game? I think 23 of it was in the first and third, or 24 of it was in the first and fourth quarter. I'm sorry, first and fourth quarter. He had some moves out there. Like he was channeling Hakeem Olajuwon, driving, faking, spinning, fadeaway. Beautiful stuff. He shot 12 of 21, 2 of 4 from 3, 28 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, a block. It was a nice individual performance from Jaylen Brown, who after a rough shooting night against Brooklyn, has come back with 2 good shooting nights. So that's all averaged out. It sucks that he played 39 minutes, but you know, you'd like to see a guy who's played that much get the win, but he still played really, really well. Jason Tatum as well, 29 points, 12 of 24 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. It was Tatum who made a bunch of two-way plays in the third quarter, I think it was. He really did a good job, not just with the steals, which when he's playing that center field, and some of that was in the zone, but when he's getting into passing lanes and stuff, that's when he's at his best. Last season, when he was getting a lot of those steals, he was in the passing lanes, jumping passing lanes, and if he can do that, if he can get back to doing that, and maybe having Marcus Smart around allows him to do that, then that'd be huge, because that's where a lot of Tatum's defense really comes into play. So I thought, obviously, between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they scored, was at 57 of Boston's 109 points. So more than half of Boston's points scored by those two guys. Contrast that with how the Jazz starters were: 12 points for Bogdanovich, 6 for O'Neal, 16 for Gobert, 21 for Mitchell, 17 for Conley. I mean, they Tatum and Brown were almost matching their entire starting lineup over there. So really the bench was a problem. Robert Williams, I thought, was good in this game. In fact, good enough where he was on the floor to close the game, which is interesting. The closing lineup was Smart, Tatum, Brown, Kemba, and Rob. And I thought that's a lineup where we can see that could be a look into the future. Daniel Theis also good in this game. 7 of 13, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists for Theis. I thought he did a generally good job. And one of the things I liked about Theis is the top of the key shots, the mid-range shots, taking advantage of Gobert. Like, this is the second game where Theis has hit shots against the Jazz. He has an opportunity to do that, because if Gobert's not going to step up at the level of the screen, then Theis is just going to be able to pop right there. Taking those short, the mid-range jumpers is huge, I think, for Theis, because that allows him to get going. It's not just all about the three. He's got very nice touch from that range. Give him those shots. Let him hit those shots. I thought offensively he was really good there. So that's it for the good. Up next, some of the bad, including Grant Williams. Told you earlier about Locker Room. In fact, I mentioned it last week. I'm going to be doing regular weekly Locker Rooms, and not sure exactly the schedule yet, but once I set a schedule, I will let you know. But basically, it's a live audio-only sports talk platform. Think of it as sports talk radio, but carry it around with you on your phone, on your app, and you can download it for free. Talk to me, talk to other fans, athletes, insiders, all in real time. You can do like a watch party, debates, all that stuff. React to breaking news. You can share your own experiences on the app. Very simple. When I do it, you follow me at John Corrales on Locker Room. You'll get notified when I go live. So you sign up, download the app. It's free in the iOS App Store. Create your profile, link your Twitter, join the NBA group, follow me at John Corrales. You're going to get notified when my room goes live. I'll let you know exactly the day and time on Twitter. And you show up in the room, you request to come onto the stage, I bring you on, you ask me questions, and then you leave. Then you can listen to the rest of the show. You can hop into a chat room, which is right there, and you can have discussions with other people about what I'm saying at the time, what discussions being had at the time. It's really a fun app. So download Locker Room for free in the iOS App Store. Go ahead, bring your spiciest takes. I want to hear it. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew, which is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil are chewable tablets. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. If you can benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We've got a special deal just for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Pay $5 shipping. That's it. BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On, and you'll receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
I've got everything you need to know about the Celtics here, but what about the rest of sports? That's why you need the Locked On Today podcast. I'll be on that as well, talking Celtics. So make sure you're checking out the Locked On Today podcast on Wednesday, hosted by Peter Bukowski. All the sports news you will ever need every morning in under 20 minutes. Again, I'll be on there, so you want to check that out. Follow Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. The bad from the Boston Celtics loss to the Utah Jazz. First of all, it drops the Celtics to 0-9 this season against the Jazz, Nets, Sixers, Suns, and Lakers. Those are the five best teams in the NBA. The Celtics are not good enough to beat the best teams in the NBA right now. Part of that's been injuries. Part of it's just they don't have the talent. They just don't have the talent. So that's not a great number to see when you're coming out of that loss. Defensive lapses in this game cost the Celtics. You have to be precise. You have to be absolutely 100% precise against the Utah Jazz. And it's when the Celtics fall for up fakes, and there was a stretch there, especially Semi Ojeleye, when you fall for up fakes, all of a sudden it just triggers a barrage of Utah Jazz ball movement. They drive by you. Then the defense collapses. Then it's swing, swing, drive, swing, three. It's ridiculous the precision with which they can take advantage of your one mistake. And it's just one mistake. Every basketball player has fallen for an up fake. Celtics might do it a little bit more often, but every player falls for an up fake. And it happened a couple times in a row, two, three times in a row. And it's just immediate. Ball touches the paint and it kicks out. So, and then Ojeleye had a sloppy closeout where he put his foot basically into Donovan Mitchell's airspace, gets the flagrant foul. They survived that play, but those things can't happen against the best teams. And that's where the Celtics are just not good enough. They keep making those mistakes against every team. They can survive them when they play this well with this kind of energy, but only against like middle to lower tier teams. They can't do that against the top teams. A lack of free throws was also a problem. They had Utah in a penalty for a while. And it was the third quarter, I believe. They had Utah in the penalty, and they didn't get anything out of it. I think they might have gotten, I don't know if they went to the line once. That's insane. Where when you've got a team in the penalty for 5-6 minutes, and to barely get anything out of it, that's live at the line territory. That's where you put your head down and you attack territory, and you force the referees. You force the referees to start calling things because of the level of aggression. Because inevitably, even if Gobert blocks a shot or two, he can't stay vertical on all of them. Keep attacking. But don't just jump into him. Attack him from different angles. It doesn't even have to be Gobert. They could have just moved the ball, set some picks. You could have done the stop and rise up for the three, Kemba type of thing. You could do rip through moves, whatever it is. Whatever it is. At that point, make them pay. If you can't get the offense going, make them pay at the line. I know fans probably don't want to see that, but if you're trying to win a game, you can't do that in general. You can't just like let them off the hook. Now, the Celtics only took 4 free throws. And frankly, there might have been a couple of missed calls, but I don't think it was egregious. Like, I look at that game, and there was never once where I was like, okay, the Celtics are getting hammered getting to the rim. Like, it was, they just weren't getting, they weren't getting shooting fouls. The Jazz committed 18 fouls. In fact, both teams committed 18 fouls. And this wasn't an evening of the foul situation either. They both committed 18 fouls. The Celtics fouled on shots and gave up 24 free throws. The Celtics were outscored. The bench was outscored 45-21. The Celtics were outscored at the free throw line by 19. They were outscored at the three-point line by 27. Like that, and they only lost by 8. So they gave up 27 more points than they had on three-pointers. They outscored by 19 at the line. It means the Celtics were moving the ball offensively. They had 10 more makes than the Jazz. So 20 points right there. These areas here where the Celtics, they can't against these good teams lose all of these battles. You just can't lose all of these battles. So it's one thing if the bench gets outscored, okay, but then you can't get demolished from the three-point line. You can't be fouling and giving up free throws. That's where the Celtics are. Couple last things here on the bad. The foul call on Jaylen Brown with 2.5 minutes left to go in the third quarter, where he's closing out on Jordan Clarkson. Clarkson kicks out his leg, but Jaylen Brown gets the foul. This is the officiating cannot reward players for kicking their legs out. I had this discussion on Twitter after James Harden the other night jumps forward into a defender. I think it was Obi Toppin in their game against the Knicks. Jumps straight up, but then kicks his feet forward somehow and falls, and basically puts his feet underneath Toppin's, who, you know, if you're talking about saving people from their, you know, landing on people's feet, these guys are doing things that are going to get them hurt just to draw fouls. And the referees cannot keep allowing that. It's just, and I know Celtics do it too. They've got to stop. Like this whole thing about players jumping out of their way to jump into defenders, that has to stop. We cannot watch players get rewarded on any team, anywhere, anyhow. Cannot watch them do that. It's too much. Too many free throws. And people talk about eliminating free throws from the game. I don't want free throws eliminated from the game. We can eliminate a bunch of them just by not calling that crap. So that's a play that really bothered me. And it's okay. The Celtics went on a run after that, and they had a lead. They had chances to win. So that's not a play that I think was costly or anything. I just hate the play. I just hate that it was a play that happened. The last thing I want to say is, when the bad, Tristan Thompson's in the health and safety protocol. I don't know why he's in the health and safety protocol, and I don't know if it's related to this, but he did appear on Khloe Kardashian's Instagram. I was made aware of this. At a birthday party, maskless, and now he's looking at the camera. He's taking pictures with his girlfriend and his daughter. I don't know if he put a mask on after that. I don't know, but he was at a party somehow recently. He just turned 30 on Saturday. The Celtics played Brooklyn on Thursday. They had Friday, Saturday off, and then they played Houston on Sunday. Somewhere in there, he had a 30th birthday and apparently a 30th birthday party. Now he's in the health and safety protocols. I have a hard time believing that that's not related. So I don't know what's going on there. but certainly going to try to find out. I mean, I hope he's okay. I don't wish COVID on anybody. You hear Fred VanVleet come out and talk about how horrible that was, how horrible an experience that was. So hopefully he's okay. But geez, if that party was somehow related to him getting COVID, then that's fine and suspension type of territory. On top of poor guy getting sick, if he is sick. But I just wanted to put that out there, that that's something that somehow along the way needs to get figured out. Up next, just how far off the Celtics are from being elite, why that was illustrated in this game. I've been telling you about Built Bar for a long time, and they are the best protein bars on the market. I buy them with my own money. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein. Just an amazing protein bar. 100% chocolate on it. It's delicious. It tastes, it almost doesn't seem real. Now they are trying to figure out which Built Bar is the Built Bar of Built Bars with their Built Bar bracket. So they're counting down to the sweetest 16 and trying to figure out who is going to win this matchup today. Peanut butter versus coconut puff. I shouldn't even tell you to vote, because peanut butter is going to win. There's no way peanut butter doesn't win to advance to the enticing eight. But you should go there just to vote, just to make sure, because I will be genuinely upset if peanut butter loses to coconut puff. It would face off against mint brownie, which would be a good matchup. I like mint. I like chocolate. So cookies, cream, and coconut almond is another enticing eight matchup. There will be a few more of the sweetest 16 matchups. So go to builtbar.com or on Twitter, go to bar_built so you can see what the matchups are and vote for yourself. While you are at builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. BetOnline does not have odds on the best tasting protein bar. It's the only thing they don't have the odds on, but they are the fastest, easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. NBA, college basketball, March Madness is here. NHL, baseball is coming back. You could have even bet on the Grammys if you wanted to. Award shows, TV, reality TV. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today with the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. LOCKEDON is the promo code. You get a 50% welcome bonus on top of your first deposit. Check them out. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts, or follow us on Spotify.
Hey, Wednesdays on Locked On NBA, it's Small Market, Big Market. Small Market is Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. Big Market is me. So we do the Wednesday Locked On NBA podcast. Make sure you're following Locked On NBA on Spotify. Subscribe. We just did that podcast. I recorded before I recorded Locked On Celtics. Talked about the Celtics game there. Talked about Pelicans blowing a late lead to the Portland Trailblazers. Conversation quickly about LeBron James buying into the Boston Red Sox. That's something. And while you're there, hey, subscribe to Locked On Red Sox while you're at it to get the updates. Subscribe to Locked On Patriots while you're at it to get everything on the Patriots' big spending spree. Subscribe to Locked On Bruins to get, you know, the updates on the Bruins team that's come out of the gates kind of slow. So all of your Boston sports, all of your Locked On NBA, Monday through Friday there with me and Jake. The Celtics are not close to the Utah Jazz. They are not close to the elite teams. And we saw that in this game on display when the Utah Jazz got the ball and got Boston out of position. They just torched the Celtics. They torched the Celtics. Boston had no chance because the ball was popping. Ball was moving side to side. Touch the paint, kick it out. Swing, swing, drive, kick it out again. Or lob to Rudy Gobert. And I wrote on Boston Sports Journal a big breakdown of the Celtics just not being close and why. And kind of wanted to expand on that here, where I mentioned that, look, the Jazz, basically everything went right. You drafted Gobert, you drafted Donovan Mitchell, that's going well. You signed Bogdanovich, that's going well. You signed Joe Ingles after he was cut, that's going well. You traded for Jordan Clarkson, who was basically a laughingstock. Hey, everybody look at Jordan Clarkson, never met a shot he didn't like. Well, now he's going to be Sixth Man of the Year, right? Everything is going well. Royce O'Neal, they picked him up a few years ago after he went undrafted, and now he's the ultimate glue guy. Quinn Snyder makes a great decision to change their style, their offensive style, to go into an offensive system that is very up Brad Stevens' alley. And I know when people read like, oh, see, their coach adjusted. Yeah, well, their coach adjusted to play a style of play that Brad Stevens has been trying like hell to get his guys to play. But why aren't the Celtics playing it? Well, part of it is they don't have the personnel. They just don't have the right personnel to execute. Their team simply not as good as the Jazz. The Jazz are better talent at most of the positions, especially as you get deeper into the bench. So that's part of it. But part of it is just the way the team is constructed as far as who does what. Where Donovan Mitchell can go out and drop 50, he doesn't have to drop 50. Anybody on that team can go out and have a big game. And so Donovan Mitchell can go and just score 21. And the Jazz still put up 117 and hold the Celtics off because they've got this, they've got Conley, a trade that worked out, right? 17 points. Gobert adds the 16 and 12. Royce O'Neal only scores six, but he hits a couple of three-pointers and moves the ball. And you get Bogdanovich has 12 and Ingles has 14 off the bench and Clarkson has 20 off the bench. You just don't have that for the Celtics. What do you have for the Celtics? You have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They get the ball. They square up and say, okay, what do we got here? And it's not a ball movement type of thing. Brad Stevens wants the ball to move. He wants the ball to pop. He wants the ball to swing because the defense will still move if you swing the ball, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, yes, Utah has a lot more talent. But okay, Semi Ojeleye in the corner isn't going to strike the same fear as some of these other guys in the corner. But at least if the ball moves, the defense is going to react. They're not just going to stand there and let Semi be wide open. The difference is Shemmy's not going to drive a closeout and make you pay off the dribble all the time. So the Celtics, while they don't have the personnel, moving the ball and getting the ball back, that's going to, it's, there's still value to that. So what Tatum and Brown do is they catch the ball. They see who's defending them. If they've gotten anybody on a switch, where's the mismatch? Where can I get the mismatch? Give me the pick and roll. How are they playing the pick and roll? And then from there, I'm going to make my move. They're not going to be a ball movement team. They're going to get assists off of their drives if the defense collapses. Or if they get blitzed, they should be giving the ball up. But Tatum and Brown are the offense right now. Kemba Walker is still not going to be 25 points consistently every night, Kemba Walker. So here's Jaylen and Jason combining for 57 points. And when you get the ball and you turn around, you'd be like, who's on me? What are my options? That's not where Brad Stevens wants to be. That's not where the Celtics want to be. Frankly, if you got them some help and eventually upgrades in talent where all of the talent needs to be upgraded, then you can move the ball, because then they would trust that the ball would come back to them. And I think that's the biggest difference between the Jazz and the Celtics. The Jazz stars know that the ball is going to come back to them. So Donovan Mitchell can give it up and relocate, because eventually the attention paid to everybody, he's going to get the ball back. He's going to get his shots. Not a big deal. I mean, he shot 16 times in this game, which was tied for the team high. But Tatum and Brown, Tatum shot 24, Brown shot 21. But Mitchell's, he's not afraid. He's not afraid of not getting those shots. And if he hits the shots, if he hits the threes, and if he gets to the line, he's going to score what he's going to score. He's going to score as much as he needs to score. 21 points, 3 of 5 from 3, 6 of 7 from the line. Like, Tatum and Brown just aren't in that mindset. The Celtics want him, they want them to move the ball. They want that ball to swing and pop. And sometimes it does. And that time, you know, when it does, it's great. But a lot of times those guys catch the ball, turn a corner, or catch the ball and survey the floor. And they're just, how can I score? That's all they're worried about. How can I score? Where the Jazz just say, let's roll, baby. Whoever gets to the basket, gets the basket. Let's get back and defend and get that ball back so we can come back down and score again. Celtics are not close to the Jazz. They're not close to Brooklyn. They're not close to Philly. They're just not there. They're in that next tier of teams, and it's now up to Danny Ainge to figure out how to get them to that next level. A trade this season, as I've said before, is, I think, still necessary. They need to reward these guys for their hard work, give them some help off the bench. Let's see if maybe that gets the locks a couple of guys into place, focuses the offense a little bit, focuses the lineups a little bit, gives these guys some help off the bench, and who knows if that triggers some internal improvement, and the Celtics separate themselves at least from that other pack, and maybe they stand alone in the fourth seed, and maybe they have a puncher's chance. But right now, as constituted, no, they don't. I'm going to leave it there. Read my article on Boston Sports Journal. Again, subscribe with the promo code Corrales, and you're going to get $5 off the annual subscription. You'll see what I'm talking about there. Kind of supports my conversation here. I'm back tomorrow after the Cavs game. So the Celtics on their way to Cleveland. Hopefully that goes better. The Cavs will also be on a back-to-back. They lost to Miami, and they are, I think they're flying back to Cleveland for that game. So that has an opportunity to be a very messy game with both teams on the back-to-back and Cleveland coming in after a game in Miami. Whew, that's gonna be a rough one. So Celtics trying to take advantage of that. Post-game podcast coming up after that as well. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you're a new listener, please do that. If you're a regular listener, good 5-star rating, good written review would be awesome. Share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.